All right. According to the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry, 40 million Americans now struggle with anxiety. You know, I'm just reading stuff and, oh, just campuses are being overwhelmed by the number of students that are already on psychotropic drugs for anxiety or seeking it out from the counselors and the nurse there. It's just a huge uptick. We've always lived in a world that gives us reasons to be anxious. But I have to be honest, at 63 now, I've lived long enough to see different things. I do feel bad for young people today. This is worse. And some of it's worse because one of the worst things I think that's going on, awareness. They know more. You know, I didn't have an iPhone. The phone was connected to the wall in the kitchen. There was no internet. I only knew the bad stuff happening right around me in my town. And that was usually enough. But you have instant awareness. And I'm of the opinion that so much on social media, negative sells. Negative gets your attention. Negative keeps you coming back. And so it's just unbelievable amounts of stuff that's like, and they want you to rage. There's this, and there's this, and there's this. And people are failing to recognize the human, we are frail. You were never designed to rage and rant and respond to that many things. You can't. So the answer isn't to stick your head in the sand, but I will say one way that you can, long before you ever get on a medication, you could take this right here and put it on the other side of the room. People start their day with this and end their day with this. What a blessing. Not. I mean, I'm reading articles that Christians, alarm goes off and they reach for the Word of God. No, they don't. They reach for their phone. And they just spend the first minutes on their phone scrolling through, what bad thing happened while I slept that I need to know about? Right? And then before I go to bed, scroll some more. What bad thing do I? That is not while they neglect God's word. So I'm not advocating be ignorant. I have some news feeds. But I've tried to pick one that doesn't make me want to kill myself. It's 1440 News if you want to try it out. It's not even Christian, but they try to be unbiased. Just tell me what's going on. Their goal is not to make me hate any particular group. I want to know what's going on. I don't want to rage. So I have reduced how much, and I don't, there's just all kinds of things. Even like, I love Al Mohler, but people are like, oh, you got to listen to his thing every morning. It's very depressing. I really don't need Al telling me what's already happened in California that's probably going to happen where I am. When it happens where I am, I'll ask God for help. I just don't want to know ever, oh, this law's about to, and all. Because after a while, you cannot be in a flight and fright mode continually. Oh, anxiety. So I guess you're seeing it, I'm seeing it. Anxiety, fear, anger. Those all cluster together. These are emotions that are just boiling over in our nation because of, I think, too much awareness and too much, it's all slanted towards upset you, get you upset. And so in this hour, I want to take a closer look at our anxiety because I assume your church is like our church. We're getting more and more intake. And that's the issue. Help me. Panic attacks, anxiety, debilitating. I pray through all the prayer requests on all three campuses, and it is just like, oh, my goodness. And here's what I'm hearing. It's the new phrase, and I can see their age. And it's like 20s, people in their 20s and early 30s, it's all my mental health, my brother's mental health, my sister's mental health. They're not doing well at all. And often they're the ones that are glued to this. And they're the ones that sometimes aren't looking at this at all. So let's unpack anxiety and take a close. I hope you realize on every issue, you'll never get to a better place in fuzzy land. Well, you leave it general. I love to go to the dry board. If I had a dry board here, I would do it. When I'm counseling, I do it all the time. I'll just take a marker and draw a tangled up like ball of yarn. Especially when you start off with someone, I'll say, this is what we got right here. But I want you to understand, you didn't just arrive here in a vacuum. It may seem like, oh my goodness, and I'll just do like this. I'll draw some little strand out, and I'll say, by God's grace, as I walk with you and listen to you, I'm going to be asking God for us to pull out some individual strands and threads, because this mess of where you are is comprised of specific things. Does that make sense? It's never just nebulous. It feels nebulous. It feels vague. It feels just. But the way to a better place is to break it down and to start pulling apart. This is comprised of what? That's what I want to do a little bit in this hour regarding anxiety. I'm going to take you to a passage that you're going to know, but I don't want you to groan and think, there's nothing new I could learn from there. Philippians 4. Good, nobody groaned. Philippians 4. Because I'm actually going to start reading maybe a little sooner. This is an anxiety workshop, and if we played a little word association game, I'd say Philippians 4, where do we start? You'd say 6. Be anxious for nothing. Just stop it. And often people are using scripture that way, and the person who's struggling thinks to themselves, that's not helpful. I already knew I shouldn't be. You just gave me a verse that commands me. It's a command to not be anxious. But the longer I live and the more I pastor and counsel, I'm saying to our church family all the time, when you're using scripture, back it up and stretch it out. Back it up and stretch it out. Start reading sooner. Often the verses leading up to what you're jumping in on are important and are part of it. Often there's a I love books. So the way I'd say it to you is there's a prologue and there's an epilogue. And I read it all. I read the preface, the prologue, epilogue. I read the acknowledgments. I'm that guy that reads it all. In the Bible was never put together to be this little encyclopedic index of issues. Now this, unrelated to that. Now this. Unrelated to that, often what precedes it and comes after is an important part. This is one of those examples. Start in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, of good report, if there's any virtue in anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. So where would you begin trying to help somebody with this? Well, number one, help your counselee to take a closer look at what they're actually worried about. My previous illustration. Most people who are overwhelmed by it, It's still nebulous and vague. They couldn't tell you exactly. They haven't taken time to say what. I just know. Get them to take a closer look at what they're actually. You might think that would make it worse. I want you to really think and put down on paper, list. You're not making it worse. Because what our enemy loves to do to us is he overwhelms us with a sense of it's 10 million things and it's not. It's usually 10 things. That's still a lot, that you found 10 million ways to worry about. Does that make sense? And you're helping them by just getting it out of their head, out of the dark, out of the gray, and into the light. I'm a big fan of in the dark, in the fog, in the fuzz, we get overwhelmed. When you bring things into the light, clarity, 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 clarity almost always leads to a better place. Before you've even help them to deal with it, it can be helpful to know, oh, it's that. It's not this. It's that. Help your counselee take a closer look at what they're actually worried about. In other words, define it. Give it definition and parameters. Ask them to take some time to get quiet and consider, what is it that's really bothering you? What have you been saying to yourself? What have, so I'm a fan of written assignments. I hope you have your counselees write, not necessarily worksheets. Sometimes we give too many worksheets and spank the blank. When I say writing, I'm talking about, I'll say, I want you to take